एक सुझाव है श्रील प्रभुपाद के सामने, प्रणाम करना, दंडवत। लगता है कि आप साक्षात वृंदावन से आए, ऐसे कपड़े पहनने से। So he looks like he just came from Vrindavan. आप क्या ब्रजवासी है? पंजाब? बैठिए, अभी प्रवचन होगा इंग्लिश, इन इंग्लिश। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवद गीता एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद, चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 7। यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिः भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानम् अधर्मस्य तदा आत्मानं सृजामि अहम्। यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानम् अधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। Ladies, please. Yada, yada. Whenever and wherever. He certainly. Dharmasya. Of religion. Glanihi. Discrepancies. Bhavati. Become manifested. Bharata. O descendant of Bharata. Abhyutanam. predominance, adharmasya, of irreligion. Tada, at that time, atmanam, self, srijami, manifest, aham, I. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice or descendant of Bharat and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time, I descend myself. Purport. The word Srijami is significant herein. Srijami cannot be used in the sense of creation because, according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or body, since all of the forms are eternally existent. Therefore, Srijami means that the Lord manifests himself as he is. Although the Lord appears on schedule, namely at the end of the Dwarapa Yuga of the 28th millennium of the 7th Manu in one day of Brahma, he has no obligation to adhere to such rules and regulations because he is completely free to act in many ways at his will. He therefore appears by his own will whenever there is a predominance of irreligiosity and a disappearance of true religion. Principles of religion are laid down in the Vedas, and any discrepancy in the matter of properly executing the rules of the Vedas makes one irreligious. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that such principles are the laws of the Lord. What is that from Bhagavatam, Sanskrit? Anyone know? Dharmam? Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharmam hi sakshat. The Vedas are also accepted as originally spoken by the Lord himself to Brahma from within his heart. That one, can you say? Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Where's the word Vedas there? Brahma here means Veda. Therefore, the principles of dharma or religion are the direct orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmang tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. These principles are clearly indicated throughout the Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of the Vedas is to establish such principles under the order of the Supreme Lord, and the Lord directly orders at the end of the Gita that the highest principle of religion is to surrender unto him only and nothing more. I presume you all know that verse very well. The Vedic principles push one toward complete surrender unto him, and whenever such principles are disturbed by the demoniac, the Lord appears. From the Bhagavatam, we understand that Lord Buddha is the incarnation of Krishna, who appeared when materialism was rampant and materialists were using the pretext of the authority of the Vedas. Although there are certain restrictive rules and regulations regarding animal sacrifice for particular purposes in the Vedas, people of demoniac tendency still took to animal sacrifice without reference to the Vedic principles. Lord Buddha appeared to stop this nonsense and to establish the Vedic principles of non-violence. Therefore, each and every avatara, or incarnation of the Lord, has a particular mission, and they are all described in the revealed scriptures. No one should be accepted as an avatar unless he is referred to by scriptures. It is not a fact that the Lord appears only on Indian soil. He can manifest himself anywhere and everywhere and whenever he desires to appear. In each and every incarnation, he speaks as much about as religion as can be understood by the particular people under their particular circumstances. But the mission is the same, to lead people to God consciousness and obedience to the principles of religion. Sometimes he descends personally, and sometimes he sends his bona fide representative in the form of his son or servant or himself in some disguised form. The principles of the Bhagavad Gita were spoken to Arjuna and, for that matter, to other highly elevated persons because he was highly advanced compared to ordinary persons in other parts of the world. 2 + 2 = 4 is a mathematical principle that is true in the beginner's arithmetic class and in the advanced class as well. Still, there are higher and lower mathematics in all incarnations of the Lord, therefore the same principles are taught, but they appear to be higher and lower in varied circumstances. The higher principles of religion begin with the acceptance of the 4 orders and 4 statuses of social life, as will be explained later. The whole purpose of the mission of incarnations is to arouse Krishna consciousness everywhere. Such consciousness is manifest and non-manifest only under different circumstances. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manum Api Shachiputram Atrasvarupam Arupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vande Hum Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tina Smarani Hoi Bigna Binashan Anayashe hoy nijavanchita puran. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This, of course, is a very well-known verse from Bhagavad Gita. Very suitable to discuss on the occasion of Janmashtami, the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world, the anniversary of that. From this verse and purport, we understand that Krishna appears many times in various forms. So does it become non-special? Something happens every day. No, it's special. Just like we have mongolarity every day. It doesn't make it ordinary. It's extraordinary every day. Everything in relation to Krishna is extraordinary, alaukik, not of this world. It is above the platform of this world. And especially Krishna's appearance, because we know from the Bhagavatam, Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original form, although there are so many forms. Dipachireva hidashantaram abhupetya dipayateva vritta hetu samana dharma yas tadrigeva hidashantaram abhupetya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. There are so many different forms of the Supreme Lord, and they're all equal, just like candles may be lit from one candle and they all give out equal light, but still there's an original candle, and that is Govindam Adi Purusham, the original personality of Godhead. We also have in Brahma Sanghita, this chapter 5, the prayers of Lord Brahma. They summarize the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Amena Tishtan Nanavataramakarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramapumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Beginning with Rama, there are so many avatars, so many forms of the Lord. Here this is understood to mean Balaram, Krishna and Balaram, and their expanders, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Or it can be understood as Rama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared at Ayodhya, inasmuch as he is very prominent in the world, also very prominently known. So when we think of Vishnu forms who appear in this world, there are so many Vishnu forms who appear in this world. We have the Dashavatara, the Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasingha, Vamana, Parashuram, Ram, Balaram, Buddha, and Kalki. So they all appear in this world. But if we think of Vishnu forms, we will think mostly, or that we can say the most famous or most worshipped Vishnu forms. Of course, there's Vishnu himself. His four-handed Narayan form worshipped throughout Bharat, but especially in South India. But other throughout South India, North India, everywhere, Krishna and Rama are very much worshipped and famous and loved. So there are so many different forms, this verse of Brahma Sanghita says. Ramadi Murtishu Kalan Niyamena Shishtan. They're expansions of Krishna, although they're non-different from him, expansions. And they come according to their specific times and specific functions, but still Krishna is the original. So the appearance of Krishna is very, very, very special, which is why we're celebrating it today. Not everyone's celebrating it today. What's the population of Zagreb? About 1 million, something like that? Must be. Almost 1 million. So there are a lot of people in Maya today, as every day, because they're not celebrating Janmashtami. They should be celebrating. How many people are here that we can see? There may be so many demigods present, but can you count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I counted 18.
Did you count yourself?
I did, yes. So we'll look forward to the days when there are 18 fools and rascals in the whole of Zagreb who are not celebrating Janmashtami. A lot of preaching to do. A lot of work to do. It's a big day in India up to the present time. It's a big festival. More so in some parts of the country than others. Janmashtami and Rama Navami, we find in certain parts of the country that even many Muslims participate. They like to get involved. Because after all, it's joyful. Just like so many people come up to me, "It's my birthday today." They come up, especially children, sometimes even older people also. Something they think is joyful. And it just means another day closer to death in this one life out of many lives. So what did you do from the last birthday to this birthday? Did you get closer to no more births? That's the goal of human life. To get free from rebirth. That's the beginning understanding. More than that is to develop love for Krishna. Well, that's why Krishna comes. we discuss in this verse, we're reading this verse, Krishna comes whenever there is a decline or serious discrepancies in religious practice. And concomitantly, an uprising of adharma. There must be. Whenever dharma decreases, there must be an increase in adharma. Because adharma means non-dharma. So if there's a decrease in dharma, then automatically adharma. There's nothing in between. There's dharma and there's adharma. Of course, there may be some shades, just like Srila Prabhupada translates dharma here as religion, for want of a better word. You have to translate it as something if you're going to translate it. But actually, there's no real translation in English of the word dharma. And the word dharma has become commonly misunderstood in India today due to its being used for the English word religion. And thus we hear talk of Hindu dharma, Christian dharma, Muslim dharma, Sikh dharma, Jain dharma, and so on. You see, because there's an English word religion, and then that's translated as dharma, and then the real meaning of dharma, what it's supposed to be, has been misunderstood and lost. What does dharma mean? It's a big topic. And it's been defined in different ways. Even not just in modern scholarship, but even in even among different acharyas and different schools of Vedic thought. But the summation Srila Prabhupada has given in this purport, dharmang tu sakshad bhagavad pranitam. Dharma is that which is given by the Lord. And here Srila Prabhupada refers to the rules of religion. The essence of dharma is paradoxically sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. The essence of all dharma is to give up everything else that's conceived of as dharma in this world and to fully and completely surrender to Krishna. But before that, for those who are not going to do that, as Krishna has already given in the 12th chapter, there are various levels one may practice at and still be included within the realm of dharma. Because one essential meaning of dharma, which can be applied to all the uses of the word dharma in Bhagavad Gita, is varnashram dharma. And the general understanding of this verse is here when Krishna says dharma, it doesn't refer so much to the fully surrendering to Krishna and bhakti and love for him as varnashram dharma. Because if there's no varnashram dharma, there's no dharma. Because varnashram gives the rules by which one can live according to dharma. Otherwise one cannot. This is in human society. Krishna descends in human society when there are discrepancies in the practice of varnashram dharma. And from one perspective, the whole message of Bhagavad Gita spoken to Arjuna, there are various threads that one can find in Bhagavad Gita. But one clear and obvious perspective is that Krishna wants Arjuna to follow his swadharma. His swadharma means his prescribed duty in the varnashram system, which means a kshatriya. Sometimes people ask that, does the Bhagavad Gita encourage violence? And people say, no, of course not. Well, it does. It obviously does, because Arjuna wants to be non-violent and Krishna is telling him, no, be violent, go and fight. So it does encourage violence, but it doesn't encourage wanton violence. It should be according to religious principles. Fighting on religious principles, that means according to dharma, according to shastra, is much better than non-violence, which is not encouraged by religious principles. So everything has to be understood according to shastra, dharmang tu sakshat bhagavat parinitam. Now we may say that, well, shastra was there when Krishna came. It's not like at the present time, where even in India, hardly anyone knows any shastra. They don't. Even the principle of following shastra is to a large extent lost. It's a very sad situation. When I first came to India in the 1970s, there were still many people who were quite learned in shastra. I mean, just you could say, apart from the pandits, the priests, of course some of them, and the priests in the temple didn't know anything either, but it was normal, just like this verse, yada yada hi dharmasya, was well known among many people. And people would like to show off, they'd quote this verse as if they know, to show off that they know Bhagavad Gita, although they don't, they only know one verse. But they quote this as if they know every verse. But even that is to a large extent gone now. But even worse, the principle that we should act according to shastra is gone. And so issues are discussed on the basis of adharma. Just like maybe that was 2 years ago, one temple was opened in Maharashtra to women, which had never been opened to them before. The government of Maharashtra, I think that was before Corona. What do you think? I think that was before Corona, because BJP was in power in Maharashtra at the time. Before Corona, it must have been. So they said, well, we have to adjust to the present times. But who, politicians, who are they to say what the adjustment is? The present times are full of adharma, and we want to adjust to that. The priests in the temple and many people who oppose us said, no, according to shastra, there's a reason for this. This Shani temple, temple of Saturn, that if women go to the temple, it's very inauspicious for their husbands. But they don't want to, there are reasons for everything. Yesterday, Murugendra was asking me, why do we put the thread on the ear when we go to the bathroom? And there may be so many reasons. Ayurveda has its reasons. From the perspective of yoga, they have the various reasons. Many times when Srila Prabhupada was asked this, he just said, because it's in shastra. And that's a good enough answer. For followers of the shastra, just like Srila Prabhupada states in that series of talks he gave in London, which became the introduction for his Sri Ishopanishad, that what are the Vedas? That's the title. So Srila Prabhupada said that in India, if two people are having an argument, someone may say to the other, well, is it a shastric injunction that I have to follow you? So the point is that people know shastric injunction people have to follow. So if someone says, yeah, this is in shastra, and that's enough, you have to follow it. Of course, there may be conflicting statements. And therefore it requires brahmanas, acharyas to navigate all of this, because some injunctions are meant for certain people in certain times and certain places. Just like violence according to religious principles is meant for kshatriyas, it's not meant for brahmanas. We have in Bhagavad Gita, here in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sukhinam kshatriya partha labhante yudham idrisha. The swaga dwaram apavritam, the doors to heaven are opened for the kshatriyas when in fighting. They're very happy to have the opportunity to fight. But that's not for brahmanas or vaishyas, and a certain class of shudras will also join in the fighting. Foot soldiers, maybe shudras. But it's not meant for everyone. That's why previously in India there may be a battle going on in one field, just like we have the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And in the next field, the farmer is ploughing, he doesn't care who wins, he doesn't think no one's going to attack him. And whoever wins, well, he's the king and I'll pay my taxes, that's all. It's up to the kshatriyas to fight among themselves. So Krishna comes to establish all of this. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish this as far as possible, all over the world, because there's no human civilization without Varnashram Dharma. So it's not really human. The British have made this propaganda that we are the actual civilized people. But they're not. They're a bunch of lechers and who's good at propaganda. And they still believe it. And pretty much everyone else seems to believe it also. But real civilization means Varnashram Dharma. And Krishna comes minimally to establish that. That requires to be established. Now, dharmang tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. There was already, so I was saying, Shastra was there when Krishna was there. There were so many, we find there were so many brahmanas, and it wasn't that Arjuna was completely ignorant. Otherwise, how could Krishna have spoken Bhagavad Gita to him? Go out in the street in Croatia and talk to people about swadharma, swakarma. They won't have a clue. Even most of our devotees don't have a clue what this is all about. Swakarma, niyat, what is that? Swakarma niyatam kuru. Always do your prescribed duty. Devotees don't have a clue what this is all about. And it's all in relation to Varnashram in the early chapters of Bhagavad Gita, especially. But Arjuna, he could understand the thread of what Krishna was talking about. Of course, he struggled a bit to understand the logic. And we find at the beginning of the third chapter and the fifth chapter that Arjuna is struggling to understand what Krishna is saying. But at least he has a... When Krishna speaks of swakarma, swadharma, yoga, buddhi yoga, atma, Arjuna has at least a theoretical, conceptual understanding of what Krishna is talking about. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to talk about it at all. So, and how did Arjuna know? Well, because he heard throughout his life. He had so much opportunity. He grew up among rishis in his early life, the Pandavas. They were, after the Pandupa, they were living among rishis. And then they came to the plains, and there, part of a kshatriya's education is Veda. For the three higher castes, they have to know Veda to some extent. And then they were in the forest, and Yudhishthira, in some ways, he was quite happy in the forest because he had brahmanas with him, and they would have many shastric discourses. Yudhishthira and others would ask questions, and this is how they passed their time. So Arjuna was knowledgeable of these things, and the knowledge was there. There were people who were deeply learned in Shastra, and even Duryodhana, he wasn't ignorant. of these things. But the topics were there, but misunderstanding was rife. So Krishna says, there's a similar verse. Actually this verse leads up to this. Evang parampara praptam imang raja shayo viduhu. Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. And Krishna said, before this I already, what I'm talking to you, Arjuna, is nothing new. You might think I'm saying something new, but it's nothing new. I spoke it long ago. Yung vivasvato yogam proktavana hamavyayam vivasvan manave prahur manur ikshvakave bravid. I spoke it to Vivasvan, the sun god. He spoke it to Manu. Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. And in this way, in succession, one spoke to another, and it came down in human society, especially among the kings. This knowledge was spoken. And now I'm speaking it again because that system has become lost. And Krishna says, in this verse which you're reading today, that I come again and again and again to re-establish that. And we see that Matsya comes for restoring the Vedas. Hayagriva comes for restoring the Vedas. These avatars come. Rama, his very life is showing dharma, showing the Vedas, and hearing, studying Ramayana is a complete Vedic education. Everything is there. You may say, well, we don't find in Ramayana Vedic passages such as Purnam Adaha Purnam, Purnat Purnam Udachyate. We don't find that. But it's all not exactly the same language. But everything is there. And the Ramayana we have from Valmiki is, of course, a condensation because the Rama's pastimes are so expansive, even though it's a big work, but it's condensation. Sri Madhvacharya says that the Ramayana we have from Valmiki is a condensation of the Mula Ramayana, the original Ramayana, which is still there in the heavenly planets. So Krishna comes to establish religion when there's an uprise of irreligion, because it's going on. It's not that it wasn't there, but there's a misunderstanding of the purpose and discrepancies in the practice, which is quite expected. In this material world, everything decays. Even spiritual teachings, they don't decay, but the transmission of them becomes weakened. Just like transmission of electricity from the powerhouse, it's transmitted in copper wire, because copper is a good medium for transmitting electricity, but the further you transmit it, the power gradually becomes decreased. So if you have a powerhouse in Zagreb, there's one we can see, right? There's a thermal power station, looks like. Is it thermal? I don't know. So if you want to transport that electricity to Moscow through copper wires, then there's going to be a decrease. If it's from Zagreb to Karlovac, probably going, then there won't be much decrease. But if you're going to send it all the way to Moscow, you're going to lose some of the power. So same thing, distance in time, there's a decrease. We may say, well, spiritual teachings are always good. They don't decrease, but they are transmitted through humans. And humans have the tendency to misunderstand, to reinterpret. Therefore, Krishna comes from time to time to set things right. That's one of the reasons why he comes. There are so many reasons. When he comes, he performs activities, he fulfills so many purposes. We find in the Bhagavatam, 8th chapter, the first canto, Kunti Devi, she lists various reasons why Krishna comes. She says, Kechid ahur ajam jatam punya shlokasya kirti. For instance, she says, some people say that the unborn has become born. Unborn, we have in the previous verse. Ajopi sanavyayatma. He's unborn, but he's born. So in Kunti's prayers also, some say that the unborn has become born for yadu sanvavaye, therefore glorifying yadu. By his appearance, he's made yadu more famous. You've all heard the name of yadu, isn't it? You've all heard the name of yadu. Why have you heard? Because Krishna. Otherwise, there are so many kings who are mentioned in Bhagavatam, and there are many, many more who are not mentioned in Bhagavatam, whose names are forgotten, but the name of yadu is still known because Krishna glorified his dynasty by appearing there. So that's one reason. And she goes on and gives so many reasons. The earth was burdened to relieve the burden of the earth. So these are all true. The basic reason Krishna gives here, or the reason that he wants to impress upon Arjuna, is to re-establish dharma. There's a hint there to Arjuna. You don't want to fight? That's not dharma. I came to re-establish the principles of dharma. So if you don't fight, how am I going to be able to do that? Just before this, Krishna says, Bhaktosi me sakha cheti, you are my devotee and my friend. So if you don't follow dharma, and I'm supposed to be establishing dharma, then my whole mission is going to be upset by you. Who is going to establish dharma? Krishna himself does. But even more so, we can say, dharma sthapan hetu, what is the reason or how is dharma established in this world? Krishna says, the next verse, dharma samsthapan arataya sambhavayami. I come to establish dharma. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, dharma sthapan hetu shadur bebaha. Dharma is established in this world by the behavior of sadhus. So Krishna establishes it through persons. He himself speaks it, and then persons have to personify it. And the example is given of Madhavendra Puri in this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhavendra Puri established dharma by going. This in Chaitanya Charitamrita is spoken in the context of Madhavendra Puri going against what was considered the proper dharma by accepting food in the home of a supposed to be lower class brahmana. But Madhavendra Puri, although that was against what was considered the proper dharma, what was generally considered, but it was accepted as proper dharma because Madhavendra Puri could understand this man, he's more than any so-called high class brahmana because he's a devotee of Krishna. So there are so many subtle points to be understood. It's a big, big topic, and it should be discussed. We in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. We don't discuss it much because we think, well, anyway, we're chanting Hare Krishna. We don't need all this. And that's true in one sense, that if you chant Hare Krishna, then we transcend all the behavioral rules. But still society needs structure, and we also need to follow behavioral rules, because we're not on the level of Madhavendra Puri, or we're not on the level of Vamsidas Babaji. They don't need to follow the rules. But we do, to help us advance in our Krishna consciousness and to set an example for others that this is how we should live, this is how we should behave. So Krishna comes personally to speak Bhagavad Gita, to exhibit his attractive pastimes, so that in future people can remember them, chant about them. Shrinvanti gayanti granantya bhikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavehitanjanaha ta eva. What is that? Ta eva pashantya chirena tava kam bhava pravaho paramang padambujam. Kunti Devi says that another reason you come is that in future people, they can go, now and in future, people can go, now means Kunti was speaking directly to Krishna. People can go on hearing about Krishna, singing about Krishna, taking Krishna into their heart, remembering Krishna. Constantly, those who do so constantly, Kunti Devi says, they see you. And by seeing you, they no longer see birth and death. So Krishna comes to give us the opportunity to hear and chant about him. And we wouldn't have known anything about that if it were not for Srila Prabhupada, who came and gave us this. He gave us these books. He taught us about Krishna, and he worked so hard to do that. So we should follow in his footsteps. Work hard for Krishna. He wanted to see that. Devotees are following and working to spread this. Devotees should be the exemplars of Bhagavata Dharma, the highest dharma, or the real meaning of dharma, is that which is directly in relation to Bhagavan. So devotees, they should personify that. Not that, we used to, there used to be a slur, you know that means a slur? No. Well, it means you're talking about someone in a critical way or pejorative way. There used to be a slur in the hippie times, weekend hippie. The real hippies, they're 7 days a week hippies, but there are others who go to work and do a job. Hippies are not supposed to do that. They can sell drugs, or maybe sell flutes, or something, but they don't do a job. So someone who 5 days a week they put on a tie and suit and go to the office, and at the weekend they dress as a hippie. So they're called weekend hippies. So we don't want... This is in the 1970s. I used to hear that. So we don't want devotees. Well, we do. It's better than nothing. But when sometimes a devotee, sometimes not a devotee. We want all the time. In family life, also can be, should be. If we're going to get Krishna's full mercy, We have to be abhikshnasha. There are so many words like that all the time. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Always. Yatantascha dhiravrataha. Always engaged in Krishna's service. And Krishna comes to establish dharma. That's one of the reasons why he comes, one major reason why he comes. Every reason is very important. So this is established in this verse. The importance of, we can understand from this the importance of dharma. I'm talking about here about worldly dharma. That's required for just for living as a human being. Then we can go up. Or we can just go from the platform of animal to beyond worldly dharma, which is what happened with all of us. We were living like animals and Prabhupada brought us up. But the thing is, if we don't have that system of human society, then when we wobble in bhakti, when we become weak, then we fall down to the animal platform because we don't have anything in between. We don't know anything else. There is nothing else. So we need varnashram. That it's a, at least people will stick to human principles. I know two of my disciples in India, both from South Indian Brahmin families, where some kind of culture is still maintained, that before they became ISKCON Brahmacharis, they were working in jobs in the corporate world, and they both were sent by their companies overseas, one to Germany and one went so many countries and they'd stay in hotels and this and that. But neither of them ever broke the regulative principles. Neither of them met before they came to Krishna consciousness. Young men, they never engaged in sex of any kind. And the people, no drinking, nothing. Why? Because they had that culture. They were trained in that culture. So this we want to inculcate to help devotees be devotees, to remain on the devotional platform. Krishna comes to establish Varnashram Dharma. That was one of the strong desires of Srila Prabhupada also. So that should be done. Of course, here in this country, the movement is struggling just to stay on the basic level. So that will have to be seen first. Before devotees can establish Varnashram Dharma, we have to have devotees. Right? Because it means society. Sometimes devotees have the idea, I'll go on a farm and my own home farm and I'll follow Varnashram Dharma. You can't. It requires a whole society. It needs sufficient number of people. Of course, one can live as a brahmana as best he can, but for Varnashram to be established, it requires sufficient number of people. It's a big topic. I'll finish there. I heard peep peep, which is the modern way of telling us that the hour has struck. That's the saying. Struck, because usually people strike the bell. Now you don't strike the bell. The watch or whatever makes some sound. So Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Yeah. Let's do yesterday's questions afterwards. Let's go to the top. Yeah, first to Vrishabha, because topics from today.
Maharaj, please, can you tell us about Krishna? Okay, Krishna appeared in this yuga. But what about all the other yugas in Deva Brahma?
Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma. That's right there.
Yeah, so what happens in other yugas?
28th millennium. What happens in other yugas? There are different avatars.
Do they know about Krishna in other yugas?
Yes, Krishna is known. Matiyana Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj says. People are not aware of Krishna. Well, he speaks of people who are not aware of Krishna. Matiyana Krishna, which means they're not aware. But he was aware. He spoke about Krishna. So awareness is there.
Srimad Bhagavatam exists also in other yugas.
Bhagavatam is eternal, as Krishna is eternal. But just as Krishna is sometimes manifested and sometimes not, so Bhagavatam is sometimes manifested, sometimes not. Just like in Croatia, 42 years ago, there was no manifestation of Bhagavatam. Still needs to be manifested in Croatian language. Who's translating that? Who?
Swarnabhil Prabhu is working on producing them. But
who's translating it?
It has already been translated up to some point, I think, for Canada.
Who's translating it?
Adhika Mataji.
Does she do that full time?
No, she doesn't do it anymore.
She doesn't do it anymore. That should be priority. You have so many programs, book distribution, Harinam, priority. Get the books translated. That's the first thing to do. That's whenever devotees went to a country, you get few people. Even before anyone joined, sometimes they would hire some university scholar or something. Even the translation is going to be horrible. Just like in Russian, they had these little Ishopanishads. First of all. And within that, the translation, when we speak of Lord Krishna, it came out like a English Lord. It was translated like that. So there were so many discrepancies, but still, it made devotees. In pre-Glasnost Russia, in the Soviet Union. So that should be the priority. Books come first, then everything can manifest. Krishna hoite chatur mukha hoi Krishna sevan mukha. Krishna spoke to Brahma. First he gave instruction. Then Brahma became inclined to serve Krishna. Books have to be there. So on Krishna's birthday we'll look forward to the appearance of Krishna in the form of Bhagavatam in Croatian. It's a big job, no doubt. Should be done. First things first. Can Suvarna Bindu do it?
He's doing technical work of editing.
But can he translate also?
Can he? Може ли проводит? Maybe you can use new technology as well. They are really quite...
Oh, right, they have this artificial intelligence is supposed to be quite good.
Maybe we can use that?
Yeah, that comes first. Suvarna Bindu is in Los Angeles. I wonder if he's listening to this. It would be the day before, evening in Los Angeles. Let me see, it's now it's 9.5 hours with daylight saving, so it'll be 12.5. Yeah, it's a... Anyway, whatever. Let's get him to work. Not that he's not working, but this is the first priority. Books.
And one more question, Maharaj. So if Krishna appears every day in the day of Brahma, so Brahma sees Krishna every day, actually. How come that he becomes bewildered?
How come he becomes bewildered?
Yeah.
How come you become bewildered?
I mean, he came to pray to Krishna when he appeared in the womb, and then after like a few seconds after...
He forgets, every day he has to pray for creation.
Yeah.
He forgets.
Interesting.
He sleeps. It's a long time. That's what goes with the package called the body of Brahma. It's not the same. The body of a giraffe and the mentality of a giraffe is different to that of a human. With different bodies come different psychophysical propensities and abilities. So it's different with everybody. By Krishna's will, Brahma forgets. That's the way it is. Otherwise, Brahma himself would be bewildered. Just like we see Narada was bewildered. He thinks, Brahma, you must be the greatest. I don't see anyone greater than you. You do the work of creation. Brahma says, no, I learned from Narayana. Otherwise, it might appear that to Brahma himself, that he is all-powerful in the matter of creation. Any more questions on this verse topic today? No? Okay, all right.
Maybe that I ask in creation and very yeah. short. Da li se brahmačari život može odlučiti ili je on uvjetovan životima prije? Dakle, da li se zasluži sa životima prije? Da li je različit od svjesnosti Krišne koja je neovisna o karmi, jogi, bhakti je neovisna? Dakle, a da li je brahmačari ovisan o prijašnjim životima?
So, a person in this life, he becomes a brahmachari, is this something from previous lives, or this is something that he can kind of train himself and decide in this life?
Generally, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, it's a continuation from a previous life. Brahmachari, Grihastha, whatever. So we're distributing so many books, and you think, well, why don't all people become devotees? They will, but they're getting their first step. It may not happen in this life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna, Janmashtami ki jai. Hare Krishna.